So we are reading today from Srimad Bhagavatam, the character of Bharat Maharaj. I think we stopped 22 yesterday, no? 23 we did also, yeah, it's true. So I will read quite a few verses, in actually 24, 25th, but the 25th purport is very small, so I will also actually read the 26th, which is a longer purport by Srila Prabhupada. And I will not read the three Sanskrit verses, just the last one, the 26th, it's quite long in prose. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So verse 24. Maharaj Bharat continued to speak like a madman, seeing above his head the dark marks of the rising moon, which resemble a deer. He said, "Can it be that the moon, who is so kind to an unhappy man, might also be kind upon my deer, knowing that he has strayed from home and has become motherless? This moon has given the deer shelter near itself just to protect it from the fearful attack of lion." Text 25. After perceiving the moonshine, Maharaj Bharat continued speaking like a crazy person. He said, "The deer's son was so submissive and dear to me that due to its separation, I am feeling separation from my own son. Due to the burning fever of this separation, I am suffering as if inflamed by a forest fire. My heart, which is like the lily of the land, is now burning. Seeing me so distressed, the moon is certainly splashing its shining nectar upon me, just as a friend throws water on another friend who has a high fever. In this way, the moon is bringing me unhappiness." So I will read the purport, but it's quite actually interesting that, although as it is said, Maharaj Bharat, it really seemed to be completely covered by Maya. He's speaking like a crazy man. I mean, if we compare to the what we hear now, when a person is in such a state of intoxication, and how the way they speak, although the Maharaj Bharat is certainly covered by Maya, is in the illusory power of, under the illusory power of Krishna, still we can see how refined the culture was, the way Maharaj Bharat is speaking, although it's completely madness, and it's just anchoring after his deer. Still, the way how he speaks is so refined, is so beautiful, and we can compare the previous way how people were acting, especially in those times of Vedic culture, and the people, although they may be still attached to material affairs, they were actually so much more elevated in the mode of goodness compared to if you for example go in the middle of the night in a city, when you speak with people also in Maya, covered by intoxication, and it's so rough, so gross. And here we can see, we can even appreciate someone who is in Maya, because he's actually so educated, so refined. So the purport is quite interesting. It's related to Ayurvedic treatment. It's small, but it's a little funny in one sense. According to the Ayurvedic treatment, it is said that if one has a high fever, someone should splash him with water after gargling this water. In this way, the fever subsides. And so now if you get fever, you, instead of taking aspirin, or you just gargling and he splashed on the person. That's what I say. Although Bharat Maharaj was very aggrieved due to the separation of his so-called son, the deer, he thought that the moon was splashing gargled water on him from its mouth and that this water would subdue his high fever, which was raging due to separation from the deer. So the verse mainly we will discuss is the 26. It's a very long verse in prose, so, but still I think it's nice to Prabhupada mention how, although we may not understand the Sanskrit, everything, the words, still it's just by reciting, it's very purifying. So I think I can just read, of course we cannot repeat because it's so long and all in prose, but I will just read the Sanskrit and the translation and the purport. Evam magata mana manu harata kula ridayo mrigadara kabashenu svarad dakarmana yogarambanatu ribam shita so yogo tapashu bhagavat haradana lakshanak cha katam itarata jatyantarahena kunaka sanga sakshan nishreyasa pratipakshataya prak pratityakta Tustyaja ridaya bijata sya tasya vammantaraya vihata Yoga rambanasya rajase bharatasya tavan mrigabhaka pusana Palana prinana lalana nu sangena vi ganatyata Atmanam ahir ivaku bilam durati krama kala karala rabasha apadyata. So I will not read the word for word but directly the translation. Sukadev Goswami continued, "My dear King, in this way Bharat Maharaj was overwhelmed by an uncontrollable desire which was manifest in the form of the deer. Due to the fruitive result of his past deed, he fell down from mystic yoga, austerity and worship of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. If it were not due to his past fruitive activity, how could he have been attracted to the deer after giving up the association of his own son and family, considering them stumbling block on the path of spiritual life? How could he show such uncontrollable affection to a deer? This was definitely due to his past karma. The king was so engrossed in petting and maintaining the deer that he fell down from his spiritual activities. In due course of time, unsurmountable death, which is compared to a venomous snake that enters the hole created by a mouse, situate itself before him." Pupil. As will be seen in later verses, Bharat Maharaj, at the time of death, will be forced to accept the body of a deer due to his attraction for the deer. In this regard, a question may be raised. How can a devotee be affected by his past misconduct and vicious activity? In Brahma Samhita, chapter 5, verse 54, it is said, "Karmani nirdahati kintucha bhakti bhajam." For those engaged in devotional service, bhakti bhajan, the result of past deed, are indemnified. Yeah? Indemnified. According to this, Bharat Maharaj could not be punished for his past misdeed. The conclusion must be that Maharaj Bharat purposefully become over addicted to the deer and neglect his spiritual advancement. To immediately rectify his mistake, for a short time he was awarded the body of a deer. This was just to increase his desire for the mature devotional service. Although Bharat Maharaj was awarded the body of an animal, he did not forget what had previously happened due to his purposeful mistake. He was very anxious to get out of his dear body, and this indicates that his affection for devotional service was intensified, so much so that he was quickly to attain perfection in a Brahmana body in the next life. It is with this conviction that we declare in our Back to Godhead magazine that devotee like the Goswami living in Vrindavan who purposely commit some sinful activity are born in the bodies of dog, monkey, and tortoise in that holy land. Thus, they take on this lower life form for a short while, and after they give up those animal body, they are again promoted to the spiritual world. Such punishment is only for a short period, and it is not due to past karma. It may appear to be due to past karma, but it is offered to rectify the devotee and bring him to pure devotional service. Om Aganati Milandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Shakshuru Militam Yanatasma Shigurabe Namolama Namo Prabhupada Priyadasya Jaganadatana Mutali Bhakta Sukaya Krishna Kitanena Arashingana Rakshitaya Namolama. So this verse and translation, it's actually very intriguing, interesting, because I mean, if you have heard properly, it's quite opposed actually, the translation of the verse where it's Sukadev Goswami we speak, and what Prabhupada said in a purport, that it seems actually the conclusion it's radically opposite, because Sukadev Goswami that said that Bharat Maharaj, he was in this way overwhelmed by the desire for the form of the deer, and he mentioned two times that the reason why was probably due to the fruitive result of his past deed. That's the reason why he fell down from mystic yoga. And he again say, if it were not due to his past fruitive activity, how could he have been attracted to the deer? This was definitively due to his past karma. So it seemed really clear from the word of Sukadev Goswami that the reason why Bharat Maharaj fell down in this way, it was because of his past fruitive activity. It was a karma reaction. As we know, it is mentioned in the Shastra that it's very inconceivable to understand the law of karma. It's so complex, I mean, nobody can really follow. But here, Sukadev Goswami mentioned that the very reason why Bharat Maharaj fell down, it was due to his past karma. That's really, really clear. Two times he said. And in a purport, it's just the opposite, Prabhupada say. It's really amazing, actually. It's a really intriguing verse. He say, how can a devotee be affected by his past misconduct and vicious activity? According to this, Bharat Maharaj could not be punished for his past misdeed. The conclusion must be that Maharaj Bharat purposefully become over-addicted to the deer and neglect his spiritual advancement. So here, Prabhupada said, no, it's not the past because of his past activity or his karma. No, he said this word purposefully, just fully, he decided to be involved in this affair with the deer, to be attracted by him. And also two times Prabhupada said, another. I mean, he really makes the point. It was just to increase his desire for mature devotional service. It is not due to past karma. It may appear to be due to past karma, but it is offered to rectify the devotee and bring him to pure devotional service. So, it is very, intriguing verse and purport by Srila Prabhupada. And we know that actually we cannot, it is mentioned by the Shastra itself that we cannot really come to the proper conclusion in devotional service, in spiritual life, just by studying the Shastra. You know, the word, here we have the Srimad Bhagavatam and the words, the very words of Sukadev Goswami, and it seems very obvious what he say, and it would have not been for the purport of Srila Prabhupada, we would have not even considered another way why all of this happened. But Prabhupada, in the Purport, make it clear that actually it was not because of the past karma of Bara that he fell down. So it is said how actually the Shastra, just by reading it, we cannot really come to the proper conclusion. We need also, it's very important, the conclusion on the like the purport of the previous acharya, because it's very difficult to understand spiritual affair with our present condition. The nature, the very nature of Krishna is that is inconceivable. As we all know, we practice this philosophy of achinta veda veda tattva, that Krishna is inconceivably and simultaneously one and different from everything. So how it can be if you use only our material intelligence, how something can be simultaneously himself, itself, and also the other thing, but not the same. It's just, it's not actually a very sound proposal on a level of material intelligence. And it is actually, it's kind of absurd, but this is the transcendental truth of Krishna consciousness, that it's just inconceivable for the material mind and intelligence. And although it may appear contradictory, many things in the Shastra, there's mentioned thing, and sometimes it is even explained that one saint, one pure devotee may say something, and another one may say something completely different, even it seems completely opposite. And we start to have doubt what's going on, you know. But it's just not, it's not you that is a mistake, there's a fault from them. They are pure, they are on a level of the absolute, where there is no duality or contradiction. It's all transcendental. We may not understand why they speak like this, and in such also a verse like Prabhupada, it just said the opposite what says Sukadev Goswami, and we may have difficulty to what's going on, who is right, who is wrong, because we are on a level of duality, and we don't really perceive the very nature of the absolute truth as being inconceivable for the from the material consciousness that we are presently actually overcome. So that's the nature of the spiritual life. It's very difficult to understand for person who are materially conditioned. So we need both to study the Shastra, but also we need the direction of advanced devotee who can guide us, and gradually we may more and more understand deeply the knowledge of the Vedic Shastra. And it takes time, in a sense that it's not something static, that once up you grasp the thing, now it's okay, I understand for the rest of my life, it would not move. No, we all have this experience. We read the Bhagavatam, we come to the hand, Jaya Shri Radha Gopinath Ki, we come to the hand and we start again, and it seems completely different. It just seems we understand things in a different manner and in a different way, or things we haven't seen. All of a sudden, it appears that we understand something more deeply that we didn't perceive previously in this way, or something we perceive wrongly, we understand that actually no. So it's the absolute knowledge of the Shastra, they are not static, they are actually alive. They are not different from Krishna. The Srimad Bhagavatam is not different from the Absolute Truth. It is the Absolute Truth. And more we will be purified, and more we will actually appreciate the deepness and the knowledge of this wonderful world, which are spoken by Krishna himself or by a pure devotee. So it's like I said, it's quite interesting verse, and we should not be confused why one is saying it's because of this and this, the other say it's not because of this, because of that. No, we may not understand, and we have to accept that presently I can't really understand, I can't really understand why they speak in this way and why they seem so opposite. But it's just a matter of time, and more we will be purified, and more we will realize that actually there is no contradiction. The contradiction and or the duality, it's only in our, as I say, in our mind, material consciousness. So there is also an interesting. He spoke, Prabhupada, at the end of the pupil about this conviction that he declared in Back to Godhead magazine. This is interesting. That devotee like the Goswami, in French they translate different. I don't know which is. Say some so-called Goswami. He said, say, the Goswami living in Vrindavan who purposely commit some sinful activity, like Prabhupada said, Bharat Maharaj, he actually freely decide to involve. So we may question why. Well, we can say different also. There is different opinion. Maharaj Bharat actually, he just did that to teach people what we should not do, what we should not actually involve. Although Bharat Maharaj was very extremely elevated devotee, in fact, he was on the level of Bhava. As you know, there is so many different degrees, and we start to associate with devotee to have some faith, and we take initiation and anartha nivriti. Because of this initiation, gradually our material desire diminish, and we in this way become fixed nista, and we develop, because of this steadiness, we develop a test, a real test for spiritual life, ruchi. And then when it's intensified, this test, what happened? Bhava, we develop, we feel a devotional emotion, real spiritual emotion, a very elevated, and that's the level of Bharat Maharaj. He was on the level of Bhava, and it's nearly to the complete perfection, which is, as you know, prema, where pure level, pure devotion, pure love, it's at least level. Usually we have different understanding of what is a pure devotee. Prabhupada give different way to, we can conceive pure devotee, like just someone actually who follow the sadhana, the rules, and is in a sense is a pure devotee. But many times when we think pure devotee, we think of person who attain the pure love, prema. So Bharat Maharaj was so elevated, he was actually so elevated, but still, we may say, as I said, that he decided, he made the wrong choice, although he was advanced to get involved in material attraction, material desire, and just maybe we can say it's just because he wants to teach us. It's just a pastime, we say sometimes, like this, pastime. But also it may be true, it's also that he really actually. So we may have different conception. But Prabhupada, it's interesting, in the last part of the purport, he say, he compare those Goswami. So anyway, we will not speak so elaborately about who is speaking who, but definitely he speak of person who live in Vrindavan and who don't actually act properly, and who purposely commit some sinful activity. And he give the answer, just like Bharat Maharaj, he took the body of a deer because of his attraction, affection to a deer, and that's the natural psychological reaction, that at the time of death, if someone is meditating on a particular body, a person, he will take the same body. So he said, Prabhupada, that also those Goswami, or those we will say pretender, and we don't act really properly, they will have to take bodies of dog, monkey, and tortoise in that holy land. He say, of course, What is interesting, I want to say about this this mention of Prabhupada, it again speak about the karma, because we say we see previously I was explaining how Prabhupada did say that it was not due to karma that Bharat Maharaj fell down, and now we say again it was not due to karma that with such punishment is only for a short period, and those people who don't act properly, for a short period they take animal body, and it is not due to past karma. It may appear to be due to past karma, but it is offered to rectify the devotee and bring him to pure devotion and service. So it's another aspect which is interesting about the difference between the karma and when actually it's Krishna himself who is acting. It's a very subtle difference, in a sense that for ordinary eyes, from a perspective of a modern person, he will think when a devotee die, when a person die, any ordinary person die, it's very similar. Or you see devotee, they get sick, or they get reaction also. So you may think actually that's the same, there's no difference. But Prabhupada say in the purport that it's not the same. In fact, he said that when a devotee, because he didn't act properly, he had to take animal body, it's not due to his karma. And in the sense that although it may appear that it's a reaction of his past misdeed, Prabhupada mentioned this very clearly to make us understand that it's a kind of benediction by Krishna. First, because as we know, if someone don't act properly in the holy dam, he will have to take birth again as an animal. But because he take birth in the holy dam, what happened? It is just the last life, and he will go directly to the spiritual world. So this is really inconceivable, because it may appear at the first, so it's really a big fall. And I mean, you are a devotee and you have to take again an animal body, not only take birth again, but an animal body. And so it's very detrimental for our spiritual life. But because just the fact that it happened in the holy dam, and the holy dam is not different for Krishna, it's so auspicious, what happened, it's just for one life that the devotee will have to endure such a situation, and he will be directly promoted to spiritual world. So it's actually the pure mercy of Krishna that he gives to his devotee. And but still, we should be careful in a sense, okay, so no problem. We can go to Vrindavan, we do any nonsense, and anyway, it will be the last life. Because I remember, I have a calendar in my bakery every day. You know, you have this calendar of Prabhupada, and every day you have a different statement. And there's a statement similar to this. He speak about this fact, the people who do sinful activity in Vrindavan. But he say, he mentioned, I remember the very word he say, that it's a very abominable situation that you have to take birth again. He didn't say that it's auspicious, although it is, but he mentioned more. Because, of course, as a devotee, we should quite actually feel extremely embarrassed if we have to commit sinful activity and take birth again an animal. Although we will get the mercy of Krishna, in the same time, it's not so glorious. You know, imagine if you hear about the devotee, we will know that who is doing what and what happened to him. So that's how it acts. But in the same time, yeah, it's definitively auspicious, and it's the slight difference for, like I say, for ordinary modern eyes, it may seem the same thing. You know, what endure the devotee and a non-devotee. It looked like really a karma and a reaction. The devotees seem to suffer as much, sometimes even more than. But it's only blessing of Krishna. Krishna is acting behind, and we should have faith that ultimately is for our benefit, and it's no loss at all. And just to finish, I can retell the small story. We all know about the Arjuna tree. And when Krishna was small, there was those trees, and actually there's an explanation. Those trees, they were not just ordinary living entity. They were actually two great demigods, actually the son of Kuvera. Kuvera was the treasury. The person who was in charge of taking care of the money of all the demigods. So imagine how opulent it must be, a lot of money. And just like we have in a, we can see so often it happens, it's very something common when in a society a son of a very rich person, many times he has difficulty to take responsibility, to be serious in life. It's because from the right the beginning he enjoys so much, and because of the money of the father. I was thinking like this girl, or whatever. You know this hotel, Hilton? Yeah? Paris, yeah. In newspaper, yeah, so many, they speak of her because she seemed really quite a nuts, and her biggest job during her life is just to spend as much money that people see how she is rich and enjoy and intoxication. So the two demigods, Nakula, no, not Nakula, what was the name? Nala Kuvera and Manigriva. Yeah, they were the same. They were in a upper planetary system enjoying because of the riches of the father of Kuvera, and they were enjoying like madman, you know. And it was explained at one point they were bathing in a lake with women. Everyone was completely naked, and just happened Narada was passing through. So the women, they were immediately covered. But these two guys, they were so, you know, engrossed in intoxication, they didn't even care, you know, they continued to enjoy. And Narada Muni was quite actually upset about it. So he actually cursed them. And that's actually how they took birth at two trees in the courtyard of Nanda Maharaj. And for thousands of years, I don't know, very long, they have to stay. So it's very heavy karma reaction. You come from being the son of one of the most richest person in the whole universe, and you finish as a tree standing for thousands of years. Very austere. Prabhupada says tree life, it's very abominable. You have to endure the cold, and people cut you, and it's really, and for thousands of years. So in this way they took birth. And what happened actually, although it seemed to be really a heavy reaction, a curse, because I guess they were actually devotees. They have an understanding. When actually Krishna came through these two trees with the mortar, he went on the mortar just being blocked, and he pushed the tree, and the tree fell, and they were at this time liberated from their body, tree body, and by Krishna itself, and they have a direct relation with Krishna. They spoke to Krishna for a very nice prayer, and Krishna blessed them, and you can go back, but be careful, act properly as a servant as you are. So from what it seems, a very detrimental situation, actually it comes to most auspicious. So it's acting like this in Krishna consciousness for a devotee, even so-called very awkward situation or suffering, so-called suffering, ultimately it's for the benefit of the devotee. They will be purified. And Krishna, we should have this faith that in our daily life, because it will definitively happen as long as we are in this world of material energy, the material world, we will have to endure so many things, so many suffering, and the body is getting old, and disease, and birth, and death, so and so many difficulty. But we should never think that it's for nothing. It's just suffering for nothing. No, for the devotee, Krishna, through those very same experience that all other living entity experiment, it teach us how actually to take shelter in him if we are open to his message, to his actually desire. He will teach us how to become more and more humble and submissive and take shelter in Krishna. and in this way we will greatly benefit even from the so-called karma or past activity or suffering. So I will stop here. Maybe you have some commentary or something to Maharaj. You want to say something? Yeah. Yeah. It's very interesting point. Yeah. Okay, Srimad Bhagavatam ki.